Hello, and welcome to another episode of Happiness in Spite Of with Coach Kamisha. Today, I want to talk to you about grief. So today, as I'm recording this, it's Monday, October the 8th of 2018. And Wednesday marks the 1 year anniversary of my mother's death. And I can feel it. Like, I can feel it in my body. I can feel it in my mood. I can feel it in my energy. I can feel it in the tears that are forming in my eyes right now, even as I record this podcast. I can feel it. And one thing that I've learned on this journey is that it looks different for everyone. And I've really learned to give myself permission to feel whatever I need to feel whenever I need to feel it. And I remember when I first lost my mom. For like the first week, I am the oldest of her three children. And for the first week after I lost her, I was in responsibility mode. And I was in a mode where, you know, the hospital was looking to me to let them know within 72 hours what I planned on doing with her body. And for those of you who do not know, my mother died not only of cancer, but of addiction, because her addiction took priority and she stopped getting treatment. So her cancer was in remission, but she had multiple myeloma, and the type of cancer that she had to get chemo for the rest of her life because it was a blood and bone cancer. I believe bone cancer. They call it a bone cancer, although it's strange to me because it has to do with blood. Her blood produced too much plasma and not enough platelets. If you even know and understand what that means. I know I didn't before she started this journey. And while we, and I say we because my mother did not fight cancer alone, and anyone who's ever loved anyone who's had cancer or who's been sick, you know that they don't fight alone, that you fight with them. And I learned more during this cancer fight about blood and how the human body works, you know, more than I had in my 30 something years here on this earth. And for the first week, I was just, you know, doing what I always do, leading, planning, organizing, being strength, courage, and support to everyone else. Someone is loud on their phone in the hallway. But just being that for my little sister and my little brother who was falling apart. And we had a lot of family in town, because before my mother died, I just knew that she was going to. I can't explain how I knew. I just knew. And she didn't know that I did this, but I had called all our family members. And I had said, I don't think my mom is going to make it another 30 days. So if you want to see her, you would want to come now. And this was before any doctor had said anything to me. I just knew. And actually the night that my mom went unconscious, I actually woke up in the middle of the night. And I just had this deep-seated fear. It was just so heavy and so deep. And I wrote about how I had to make peace with the fact that my mother was dying. And it was a feeling I had never felt before. And I journaled and I sat with myself for a while. And I woke my husband up and I said, I just need you to hold me. Because what I felt, it was so strong. And I asked him to hold me and he held me and I went to sleep. Because that morning I needed to take my mother to the doctor. She was to get another round of chemo. And I was supposed to take her that morning. And when my father called to tell me that he couldn't wake her up, I said to him, I know. And I don't know, again, how I know or how I knew. I just knew, right? And and so I just believe that I just intuitively knew, you know, the universe, God was showing me and preparing me for this. But no amount of preparation can prepare you for losing a parent. And this is a parent that I didn't always have a great relationship with, because most of my life she was an addict and she was in and out of my life and she stole from me and she hurt me and all of those things that I didn't understand. But she also loved me and she also nurtured me and she also cared for me. And during her last 2 years, while she fought cancer, we had gotten closer than we had been in many, many years. And to go back to the story where I say the first week I was just planning. And then after that week, when everyone left and we had had her celebration of life ceremony and I had her cremated, because as an addict, she didn't have life insurance or any plans, no will, no anything. And when everybody left, our family had went back to Georgia, her mother, her sister, the fights were over because our family was angry at my aunt because they felt like my grandmother would have been here sooner had it not been for her. When it was all over, I was left with this void. And I had begun to go through the 5 stages of grief, although I did not know that I was going through those stages. I remember starting with bargaining. And my bargaining was me telling myself if I had done more, then she'd still be here. If I had made her go to the hospital that weekend before she died, although she did not want to go to the hospital, she didn't even want to see me or talk on the phone or anything. And not because she was mad, but just because she just wasn't feeling good. And I was telling myself, if I would have done more, then my mom would still be here. That was the bargaining. For a long time, I went through denial. And I would think that she was going to call me or she'd walk through my door smiling or I'd see her again. And this can't be over and this can't be it. I had my moments that I was angry. I was angry. Matter of fact, even when my mom died, I was angry with her. I was angry because she stopped treatment and chose to get high. Her addiction made her, whatever your belief is about addiction. And I was angry that she was gone. I was so angry at her. And then I was angry at myself for being angry at her. Because I knew that it was her life and she could have the choice. So I dealt with so much anger. And then I went through a depression. And around the time that I lost my mom, I also lost a very close friend of mine. Not because she died, but because she told me she could no longer handle the dynamics of our friendship. At the time, this person was my work supervisor, and she told me that she could no longer separate our friendship and our work relationship. Well, I needed a job. So the choice had been made for me that I had to choose work because I needed my job. I had a mortgage to pay and I had bills to pay and I had kids to take care of. So I sort of grieved both at the same time. And then I finally graduated, if you call it, to acceptance. I reached out to a program here in Baltimore. Well, actually, my little sister reached out to a program where I'd heard things called Roberta's House, which is a grief support group. And they had a family group coming up. So my sister and my son, who I raised, well, he's biologically my brother. I've adopted him and I raised him as my son. We all joined and took this course together. My youngest son wasn't interested and I didn't push him to attend. And as we went through the weekly classes, the weekly support groups, and I was able to do things like write my mother a letter. I was able to, Christmas was approaching. My mom died October 10th, 2017, and Christmas was approaching, and I was able to make a light bulb, and I was able to put my feelings in there, and I was able to express them and talk to other people who had been through what I was going through. No, they didn't. Some people lost a mother. Some people lost a child. Some people lost a boyfriend. But we all had a hole in our heart because of loss. And I allowed it to be a safe space for me because I have always been the one in family that people leaned on. So many people would call and ask me, how's your dad doing? And how's he doing? Because I know he's all alone and your mom lived with him before she died. And I wanted to yell out, what about me? What about how I'm doing? But so many people saw me as just strong. And Kamisha always handles it. And Kamisha always takes care of it. And Kamisha always takes care of everybody else. But I wanted to say, I lost my mother. I saw myself as a motherless daughter. And as the weeks went on, everybody went on with their lives. None of my aunts called and checked on me. My grandmother didn't call and check on me. My close friends were there, as always. My husband, my children. But it seemed like everybody just went on with their lives. And I couldn't. I couldn't. So I attended Roberta's House. I attended individual therapy. I journaled. I finished my book, Happiness in Spite Of. And it seemed like I finally got to a place where I could accept and make peace with my mom's transition. Then Christmas came, and she didn't walk through the door smiling with her gifts as she had the Christmases before. Not all of them. Because her addiction caused her to miss many Christmases. And I didn't think I was going to handle the loss of my mom this way. Because I felt like I'd lost my mom many years ago to addiction. But there's something about losing the physical body. The finality of it all. Of knowing that you're never going to talk to them again. You're never going to hold them again. There's just something about the finality of it. At least when she was in her addiction, there was hope that she would turn around and maybe one day be the mother that I needed her to be for me. And I went through the 5 stages of grief. Then Christmas came, and I went through them again. Then my son graduated, and he wanted an urn necklace with her ashes in there. So I searched high and low. I ordered on Amazon overnight shipping to make sure that he had that, because that's the role that I play, right? I take care of everybody and I make sure that everybody has what they need. So once I finally got it, I realized that her ashes needed to now go in that urn. And I did it with no thought because my son needed it. So I made sure that he had it. And then the next day, I fell apart. And I went through the 5 stages all over again. And I got through it, and I got better. I finally got back to acceptance, and I kept it pushing. And now, as I prepare to face the 1 year anniversary of her transition. I look back over my life and I look at all of the good that has happened. I look at, and I'm proud of how I'm able to remember her. Just last month at my book launch, I lit a candle and I allowed it to represent her. And when I looked at the candle and it burned the entire time during my book launch, it was a reminder that she was here with me. And I've created little rituals and ways to remember her. I wear her jewelry from time to time. I talk to her. I write her letters. But I still prepare and know that if not all five, that the stages of grief are returning for me. Right now, I feel depressed. I feel sad. I feel lonely. I feel depressed. I miss my mom. And when I started this podcast recording, I really did not know that I was going to cry. But I also know that I'm enough. And I know that it's okay to cry. And so I still record, hoping that I give you permission to cry, to know that it's okay. It's okay to cry, to know that you can have happiness in spite of grief. Just to know that what the five stages of grief are, and knowing that they don't come in any particular order. We all will experience them at different times and in different ways. The five stages of grief are denial, anger, depression, bargaining, and acceptance. And denial is something that we use to help us survive the loss. In this place, it's like the world becomes meaningless and overwhelming. Life makes no sense, and we're just kind of in a state of shock, a state of disbelief. Sometimes you can wonder why go on, or what should I do, or how can I? You can even feel guilty for going on. Know that it's normal. There is also anger. And it's okay to be angry. Know that anger is a necessary part of the healing process. You may be angry at the person who died. You may be angry at yourself. Some people are even angry at God or the doctors or someone who should have done more. The weekend that my mom passed, or the weekend before her passing, she was home with my father and she fell. And he never told us until we were at the hospital. And the doctor said, well, did she fall? And I said, no, she didn't fall. And he said, yes, she did. And I was angry at him for that. Why didn't you tell me? And then I went from anger into bargaining, thinking if he would have just told me, then she would have been here, because that's what bargaining is. Bargaining is the what if statements. Bargaining is the if I then statements that we don't know. It gives us a sense of control when really we have none. Then there's depression. And that's when our empty feelings, our loneliness, it presents itself. And the grief tends to enter our life on a deeper level, deeper than we've ever imagined. It feels as if it's going to last forever, but it doesn't. And no one knows how long your stages are going to last. So please do not compare yourself to anyone else. Please know that you are a unique being and your process will be different than everybody else's process. So no, and it's okay. And one of the things that I was very afraid of in the depression part of the five stages of grief was that I was going to stay there because I had been depressed before. clinically depressed before, and I had come out of it actually a couple times, and I had come out of it, and I was, and every time that I go through a depressive cycle, there's always this fear that I'm not going to come out, despite the evidence of all of the times that I've come out and survived. There's always this fear that this is going to be the time that I'm not going to come out. And I was very, very afraid of the depression. But I know what we resist persists. So I had to find a way to make peace and allow myself to feel depressed. I remember talking to my village and they were trying to tell me it's okay. It's okay to feel what you're feeling. It's okay to grieve. You know, most of my village is comprised of social workers and clinical social workers and people, you know, who just have had some amazing life experiences, and they were trying to tell me it's okay. And I said, but promise me this. If I stay down too long, will you promise to come and get me? Because I wanted to allow myself to feel what I needed to feel, but I also wanted to make sure that I was going to get back up. And in depression, you feel hopeless. And you feel like you're not strong enough, and it's hard to see those things. But I'm here to tell you that I did get back up and I made it through. And it's a year later. And then I finally got to acceptance. And acceptance was the stage where I could say, it's okay. It's okay. I'll be okay. I'll find a new way to live. I'll find my new normal. I was able to accept that my mom was gone. I was able to say that she transitioned. I began to explore what exactly did that mean to me and what exactly do I believe death looks like. I had to learn how to reorganize my life. And we had to reorganize the roles in our family. I remember she died in October. In November, it was a few days before Thanksgiving. And my father asked me, what are we doing for Thanksgiving? Well, guess what? Mom always did that. So my sisters, my sister, and my brother, we were left trying to figure out what Thanksgiving was going to look like. We reached out to some family members who didn't reply to our messages. And we didn't know. Like, we had no idea where we were going to eat or what we were going to do. Of course, because I am the one who takes care of my family, every decision I made was, if I do this, then what about Daddy? And if I do this, what about Ashley? And if I do this, what about James? And then finally, my grandmother-in-law stepped in and she cooked our entire Thanksgiving. And she said, you don't have a mom this year. So I'm going to step in and I'm going to be your mom. And the blessing that was, the relief that was. So we were able to have Thanksgiving together as a family, as if mommy was still here. And that meant so much. So much. And so now I record this podcast totally transparent because I believe that transparency, truth, and tools are the key to happiness. And you can have happiness in spite of your grief. You can still feel grief. Whatever stage you're in, you can still feel grief and still be happy as long as you have the right tools. And so today I talked about a few tools that I used to get through my grief. I went to a grief support group. That's a tool. That's a resource. I went to individual therapy. That's a tool. That's a resource. I asked for help. I reached out to family members and said, help. Can you cook Thanksgiving? Can you organize Thanksgiving? I allowed myself to feel. That's a tool. I wrote letters. I did memorials. I talked to friends. I asked for support. I said, if I feel, will you come get me? I asked for help. All of these are tools that you can use. When I came to the realization the night that my mom went into her coma, that I had to make peace, and I felt this loneliness come over me. I woke my husband up, and I asked for what I needed. Can you hold me? It's not easy. It's not. So many thoughts went through my head. He's sleeping. I don't want to wake him. I don't want to be a bother. I'm okay. I'll be okay. But in that moment, I wasn't okay, and I had to be honest with myself. That's where truth comes in. It's me being honest with you, but me also being honest with myself. The times that I'm not okay, it's okay to say that I'm not okay. It's okay to not always be okay. And so I thank you for just taking the time to listen to this podcast, giving me a space to be able to process all of this as I prepare for my mom's 1-year anniversary, as I prepare for that day. And I guess today, truly, because my mother made it another 2 days, although she was unconscious. I don't want to share the details. So technically, although the breath left her lungs and her heart stopped beating on the 10th, it's been about a year since I lost her. About a year today. And so thank you just for this space. Thank you for allowing me to be just transparent and vulnerable. That yes, I can be a happiness coach without having to be happy 24/7, because 24/7 happiness is an illusion. But I still have peace because I know that this too shall pass. And so once again, I say thank you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Make it a great day. Mwah.